Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a very special recording of Prioritizing, a Married Couple's Faith-Based Insight into What is Most Important in Education, in Marriage, and in Life. We are that married couple recording live at 5, not recording live, but we're recording at 5 a.m. on Thursday morning. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning, Michael.
Are you wide and awake?
I am.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
You look it.
I do. I'm sure I look great.
This would be one of those interesting podcasts if we had film. I think we'd both be mortified. We've gotten a little behind this week, so we decided to wait and kind of make it a point to spend the morning together. Do the podcast now. So the day this is getting uploaded and released is the day we recorded it. That's okay. Life happens. But if you're not sure that life happens and you don't believe us, go back to one of our older episodes. Making time for your spouse, because that's how we talk about making sure that you give your spouse the time that he or she deserves. I'm sorry.
I don't know, and it just would have been easy to maybe skip it this week or go on to the next one, but it's really important to not let life take over in that way, and even if it means getting up a little earlier to make that time.
Yes, I think we were regretting that decision about 15 minutes ago, but now we're good to go, I'd say. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week.
Challenging students?
Yes.
There we go.
Classroom disruptions. That's available on our website, so go check that one out. Handling the shouter out. I almost said the shouter outer. That's fun to say. The student that shouts out all the time. The nosy student. We didn't touch on that one. I wish we did. Did we touch on that one?
I don't think so. I don't believe we did.
The nosy student. We'll touch on that another time. But today, we are going to be touching on finishing off the year strong. We are now in June. Happy June, everybody, by the way.
Happy June.
One of the major... What's so funny?
I thought you were laughing.
Yeah. I was not. One of the major challenges a teacher faces is in when they get past their final exams and the standardized testing's all done. You hit the end of May and the first 3 weeks of June, and it's kind of bedlam in the classroom, some teachers might say. Samantha, how do you deal with the end of the year? What do you do to make sure that it does not get to that chaotic state where the students are getting absolutely nothing out of coming to school?
Well, you know, it's tough because the teachers can be checked out sometimes, too. It's the end of the year. Everyone's a little tired, a little spent. They've been working hard, kids and adults included. But the main thing that I think you can do is just maintain that structure. Keep your schedule, adhere to it, even if you don't feel like doing it either. It's really important for the teachers to stick to the expectations, to keep the learning going, because then the behaviors are manageable. And while the kids definitely don't want to necessarily do it, the expectations are still clear. But the moment you drop your expectations, that's where the craziness happens.
Absolutely, Samantha. They're all excited about the end of the year. And you know what? Before I respond to what you said, they should be excited because their summer vacation is about to start. And for many teachers, their summer vacation is about to start. And I put vacation in quotes because we talked about that in an earlier episode as well about how teachers have summers off. And that's why a lot of people go to college, become teachers, because they want summers off. And again, off is in quotation marks. Because, as any of you teachers know, we don't have summers off. Spend a lot of our summers planning and making bulletin boards and prepping for the new year. But that's also an older episode. Go check it out.
Well, and I think it's okay, too, to share your excitement with the kids, to let them know that you, too, are excited. And some of the things you can do is talk about your plans. For the summer, each day share something or do a little countdown to look forward to it.
Yeah, and you know, if all the kids are excited about their summer vacation and you're Mr. or Mrs. Stiff up there, you're sucking all the positive energy out of the room. That doesn't mean positive energy doesn't need to be chaotic energy. You can use that and channel it and make sure and share the excitement with the students and maybe make some summer vacation, you know, learning activities, or your centers are all summer themed and you're doing things that are about their summer, so they get opportunities to share their information, or you do a writing sample about what they're going to do this summer, or what's the best thing they've ever done during the summer. So you're stirring, you're getting them more excited about the summer, but you're keeping it centralized on your curriculum still.
And by choosing activities that are a little bit more, I don't want to say focused on their interests, but they're a little bit more free in those last 10 days of the school year. You don't have to remain quite as focused on, you know, the American Revolution or your content areas, but you can apply the skills you've been learning and training all year into these fun end of the year projects. I know fidget spinners have been a huge topic this year, and one of my coworkers is doing a STEM project on fidget spinners where they have to track rotations and calculate speed of how quickly they spin and all that stuff, which has been really great for the kids to learn, and they're invested in it.
What grade is that?
Fifth.
Really?
Yes.
Some of those kids don't even know how to tie their shoes, and they're calculating
That's
rotations.
Not fair. No. They are doing a really nice job with it, actually.
That's wild. That is cool.
And it's really cool.
Although I'm finding it difficult to imagine fifth graders doing such challenging calculations with the fidget spinners and measuring the rotations and what have you and the speed. I think it's terrific that anytime that STEM is incorporated into the classroom, because not only that, you're being innovative, but it's probably something that students don't see every day. So that in itself will keep them more interested at the end of the year. Samantha, what is your philosophy? And you don't need to say the diplomatic answer, just flat out give it to me. What is your philosophy on showing movies at the end of the year? Because that's a common thing that I find that teachers will do. They'll say, end of the year, I'll show a movie once a day, every half day.
I think it's okay if it's used in moderation. I mean, it definitely shouldn't be done once a week for the last few weeks of school, or certainly not once a day. But if you have, sometimes at the end of the year, you have a lot of half days, or recently we had one where I had 9 kids out. And when you have 9 out of 19 kids out, it makes it kind of hard to accomplish anything new. So we had done a movie at the last hour of the day. So again, like, I don't think it's okay when you're wasting your whole time with the movie. But if you're using it as a treat or a reward or as a little break, and then you go back to learning, I think ultimately it all comes back to not giving up on your expectations, not giving up on your structure.
Sure. Now, not to get off topic here, but movies in the classroom, Samantha, do you choose them, or do you let the students choose what movies you watch?
Either I choose them, or I'll give them a choice between 2 or 3. And I always try to connect them to something we're learning about. So sometimes we'll show movies of books that we've read in our book clubs. And then I can build off of it academically to do a compare and contrast, or we're having a discussion, or we're doing an activity that supports the movie. But to them, it's just a movie.
Now, only reason I ask, and it's kind of like the person you know at college who will say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Because they have something really interesting they want to share, so they'll ask you, but they don't really care. They're just trying to get to their answer. That's kind of what I did here. Because I wanted to tell you that I always chose the movies for my second grade students. Because there are movies that they are not exposed to. And they're watching all the Pixar and the nice kid-friendly films. But they have no idea what Muppets Take Manhattan is, or Flight of the Navigator. I think we've mentioned that movie.
We have
on, like,
mentioned
every...
it quite a bit. Every time we bring up the Navigator Council, you do Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Muppets Take Manhattan, another classic. We also watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang in there. Pete's Dragon, we had a Pete's Dragon party last year. My room mother brought in, it was essentially Hawaiian punch, green Hawaiian punch, but she called it dragon juice. I thought that was very creative. And we created a menu, like you're going to the movie theater, and people had popcorn bins, and they each were given a certain amount of money. And this was towards the end of the year, so it was a neat way to wrap it up, but I chose the movie. They all had, which actually, Pete's Dragon now, and I should clarify, the older version of the Pete's Dragon. Okay, I haven't seen the new one. It was the older version. The more realistic version. Right, Samantha?
Exactly, yeah.
But the kids were able to They each were given, we'll say, $5, and they had to go. They could go to the snack stand and buy. Remember setting up for that? Help me set up.
Yeah,
for that?
Yeah, I did. It was really great, actually. We have the pictures came out awesome of it too. And Michael wore his. He has this red suit jacket. That looks like someone who would work at a movie theater.
Oh, I had the flashlight and everything.
He had a flashlight that he was shining at the kids as they were ordering it and watching their movie. And they just loved it. They loved being able to come in, and every snack had a different name that connected to the movie. But they were, you know, learning and building off of their money unit. And it was a really great, great activity.
And that was done towards the end of the year. They had earned a party for that. They had earned 25 compliments from other teachers for their behavior and specials in the lunchroom and in the hallways. That's how they earned it. We're getting off topic a bit here, Samantha.
In a way we are, but I think it's just another example of ways to bring it all back to the curriculum and that you can still have fun at the end of the year while staying focused.
Yeah, I think that's the main point we're trying to drive. We didn't go too much into specifics on what to do here, but the main point that Samantha hammered out earlier is keep with your regular schedule. If you deviate too far or too frequently from what you normally do, you're going to lose them.
And also taking the time to bring it back. It's okay to wait. I mean, yesterday is a perfect example. I did a lot of waiting and a lot of redoing things. All right, let's sit back down. You know, what are the expectations? Who can show me how to do this properly? It's not that they don't know, but it's more so that sometimes they, at the end of the year, they don't care as much anymore. They don't see why it's a big deal, when in reality, it really is a big deal. And we need to work to hold the students accountable as well.
Now, one thing that I did, and it worked really well for me because they're younger, but I bet it works well for you too, Samantha, as a fifth grade teacher, is I would say, you're pretty much third graders by now. So then they're they're realizing, boy, I must need to be more responsible because I'm a third grader almost. And with fifth grade, you might think, they might roll their eyes or give you a scoff or something like that. But when they're going to middle school, it is a big deal. And it's a much bigger leap. And they're given a lot more freedom, but the expectations are much higher.
Right. And it is something we address as well and say, you know, okay, guys, you know, what if you're in middle school? You're going to be in middle school in 2 months and you're behaving like this. And for a lot of them, they're like, ooh, yeah, that won't fly. And some of them don't.
Wait, what did they say?
That won't fly. And they know, and they're realistic, and they're just trying to push the limits. And I think the as clear as we can be that those limits won't be pushed, or that there's sometimes I'll kind of say it before we begin an activity that I'm okay giving you a little leeway here. But in the beginning of the year, we said we went over the phrase, if you give an inch, don't take a mile. So we reference that all year long, as well as not going too far and holding. You can still have fun, but you have to be in self-control.
I also referenced that several podcasts ago. Just so Samantha's stealing all my material now. That's one thing that teachers often are not taught anymore, I don't think. They think everything needs to be original, but that's what the internet is for. You know, you can, what's the saying?
Beg, borrow, and steal.
Yeah. Nice. Beg, borrow, and steal, which is pretty much exactly what it is. You know, beg your colleagues for some new materials. Borrow stuff from them if they have hard copy materials, but steal it, make it your own. Say, you know what, you don't have to take all the credit and just say, yes, I came up with this on my own, but you can present it to your students and say, this is the activity, or to your parent population and say, look what we're doing in class. You don't have to attach the teacher's name to the teacher who you took it from's name to it.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, sometimes if you are in that situation on the other end and people are coming to you for materials, please share. Sometimes there's that idea or that stigma attached that, we can't share. It's going to take away from what I'm doing, or it's going to hinder my reputation, or I want this all for myself because it's so great. Unfortunately, I've seen that a few times where people just aren't as willing to support one another. And so much good can come from it, and it's so much better for the students if we we take that personal edge off of it.
Well, that in itself tells me that teachers who have that mentality are not in it for the students.
Right.
The success of the students. Because if they have an enriching activity or an exciting activity that students will really go for, then why wouldn't they want their colleagues to be sharing in their classrooms? The idea, I think, from where they might be coming from is, well, it will water it down when I do it. It'll take the excitement factor away, which I can understand to an extent, but then it just tells me they're in it for, ooh, wow, look how great my teacher is. Like, that's the reaction they're hoping for, and they won't get that same reaction if, oh, we've already seen this before. So I can understand that to an extent, but that's more of a seemingly selfish motivation.
And I feel I should clarify too that, you know, now the school I'm in is incredible and everyone's always sharing resources. And I think that just goes back to it being a Catholic environment,
nice,
supporting
safe.
Each other. No, well, it was a while ago when
I know she's not talking about the school she's at.
But I think the environment of your school sets the tone for how you support one another and how you handle situations and challenges at the end of the year. And that's where working at a Catholic school is really great, because everything you do is rooted in your values. And
absolutely.
Other people working there have the same beliefs that you do.
But as you'll find from going from one Catholic school to another, the Catholic identity piece is much more prevalent in some schools than others.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking from experience, the school that I'm at now, it's overwhelming. You know, it hits you when you walk in the door. The first thing you notice is that you're in a Catholic school. And the first thing I noticed in my interview was that faith comes first in that school. So that was refreshing. And I had that same experience when I first joined a Catholic school and moved to Maryland. I got that experience and it was great. But now I went to a different school where it's even more so, and it's overwhelming, and it's great to see an administrative team making it a point to go to Mass, you know, 3 or 4 days a week together, or worship Christ together. And it's something that I've never seen before, and I bet a lot of the students haven't seen before, but it's good for them to see that from an early age, so they realize that that is the norm. You know, we're going to celebrate Christ together.
Yeah, and I think that's just where the power of our modeling of our actions and our own words really sets the tone for each class and each grade, and in turn helps the students support one another as well.
Amen. Amen, sister. Well, that's all we got for you today. It's probably 5:30 by now, and I in particular, have got to go
to work.
To work and see those darn kids. We're crying out loud.
It's the end of the year. Just show a movie.
Yeah, I gotta go through the movies and figure out what we're gonna play. We'll figure it out. We'll find a good one. I do happen to know what we're talking about next week for a change, Samantha. We do know, I should say. Next week on our agenda will be parent communications, because that is always a very pivotal component of your classroom, and parents, you could either win them over quickly or you can lose them even quicker if your communication subpar or if it's terrific. So grabbing them early in the school year is super important, and showing that you are a communicator is of uber importance. Is that fair to say, Smith?
Yes, it is.
I love being fair.
Fair isn't always equal, though.
Fair is not always equal. Thank you for that, Samantha. Quote of the day, and I'm sure that's a Samantha original. Just ask her.
Yep.
That's all we got for you today. I'd shush you again, but that's old news.
Yeah, we can just end it.
Okay. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll catch you next Thursday.